Well, it is an absolute privilege and honour to lead our kids' church teams and to teach your kids every week. I did a little bit of quick math based on very much averages. And if your kids came to church every Sunday that was available for kids' church, our team, we would have about 63 hours in a year with your kids. Just to put that in perspective, parents on average have about 3,500. All right, so there's two things about that. First of all, don't solely rely on kids' church to be the place that disciples your children. You have a lot more hours than we do. Okay, all right, so that's your privilege. You get discipling them at home, we get 63 hours, you get thousands. Okay, but secondly, if our teams want to make those 63 hours meaningful, we have to pack a lot in. All right, and that's what we try to do. We try to make it significant and meaningful. And we know that when it's outside the home, it has a different kind of impact. And it's an absolute privilege. And so I just want to share with you over the year some of the things that we've done. Is that cool? Now, one of the things that I really wanted to do with the kids this year was get them to learn the books of the Bible using a song that I knew growing up. And I've been super impressed. We've been doing this every week without fail. And so the kids are going to share the song with you this morning. I have been amazed at how well they have remembered 66 books in the Bible. All right, so, and you'll get to experience my very basic ukulele skills. Please excuse. But primary kids, could you jump back up here on the stage with your team, with my leaders, please? That would be amazing. And you have to sing really loud so these guys can hear the books of the Bible. Any adults in the room reckon they can sing? Can it stay there? Can you see them? Reckon they can know all the books of the Bible off by heart? Hands up. Yeah, Ruth's on it. You've got it, Margaret. Cool, Ken. Nice. Good, Leah. Absolutely. Good work. All right, this is your challenge for the rest of you, okay, that maybe over this coming year you can learn the books of the Bible. All right, big voices, kids.
Six books in God's holy word, telling the story of Jesus my Lord. The books of the Bible I know so well, the books of the Bible I love to tell. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Kings, Chronicles and Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians too, Timothy, Titus, Philemon and Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude and Revelation.
Wow, awesome job. Guys, come and sit back down. You did that so well. Larissa, where are you, babe? Can you come up here just for a second? So good. Can you stand up there? I just have a special wee award that I'd like to award Alyssa following this. A lot of our kids, and I know everyone didn't get tested, but Larissa came to me. How old are you, Larissa?
Six.
Larissa's six. She came with me and she perfectly recited, not just saying, every book of the Bible without blinking an eye. So I'd just like to award you with the wee books of the Bible gift tag. Congratulations. I was very impressed. She did a beautiful job. So we've learnt the books of the Bible, but as I used to say, it's a cool party trick if you can recite all the books of the Bible. But it is actually more important to know what's in them. All right, so in actual fact, if you have to still use the front of your Bible to find the page number to find a book, that's okay if you're learning what's inside it, okay? So it's important to know what's in it, and so we like to teach things based on values that we find in the Bible and let the kids explore through stories and the Word of the Lord that teach us these values. So some of the values that we have done this year, some of the themes that we have taught, we had super fan, which is all about kindness, being a fan of people and being kind to them. We had the Fear Factory, Don't Let Fear Make You Forget God's Love. We had Let's Go, Mission 316, Being a Part of God's Great Rescue Plan. We did a theme on the greatest father ever. God is the best father of all time. We also learned that there's some really cool fathers in the animal kingdom. Kids, can you remember any of the cool fathers in an animal kingdom? Maybe. We learned some. Do you remember one of them? Flamingos. What made flamingos really cool dads? You forgot? So did I. What did you get? Penguins. Penguins were cool because the dads look after the eggs and don't eat for months. Right? They I know. They don't eat. How is that possible? I know. They let the ladies go and find food and they sit there and they eat those emperor penguins. Yes, Joel. Seahorses. They go so far as to carry the babies for their wives, so to speak. Yes? What else? Do you remember one, Hendrick? Chickens? Well, I don't remember that one, but that was really, we had lots of fun animals, didn't we? All right, last one. Frogs. Do you remember the frog? Why he was cool? He carries his babies on his back, gives them really cool piggyback rides. Yeah. And makes them a home, that's right. So there were some really cool dads, but we learnt that God is the best dad ever. And he's everlasting, he's ever present, he's ever loving, he's ever strong. We learnt the Lord's Prayer this year. We did a whole session on the Lord's Prayer because the Lord's Prayer is just such a beautiful format to teach us how to pray. It actually teaches us how to come before the Lord and pray for what we need, to pray for his will, to pray for help with temptation. So many different elements to that. So that was a really great time. We did custom creations that we're all individual. Okay, we're individuality. God made us all very unique. That was a great theme. But one of our favourites was my favourite, and I think it was the kids' favourite, was Bounce Back. Bounce Back was all about resilience. Now, do you guys remember who I had on stage with me each week at Bounce Back? And he was part of all our games? And you got to punch him? I'll explain in a minute. Do you guys remember? You do? Do you remember his name? No? It was a shark. We had Bruce the Resilient Shark. Now, Bruce our Resilient Shark was a blow-up shark with some... I know. Do you know, he sprung a leak, so he's not so... He's not resilient anymore. He's not resilient anymore. But for our sessions, he has water in the base, so he stands like this. And if you push him over, he just bounces right back. And our kids thought that was great. They really tried to knock him down very hard, I might add. But Bruce always bounced back. But it was a pretty special theme. And I've asked Joel Mender, do you want to come on up? Joel's going to read to us just a little wee description of what that topic was about.
Bounce Back. God is strong and faithful, always working in our lives. We might get knocked down from time to time, but when we put our trust in God, we find the strength we need to get back up again. Jesus shows us how to face life with resilience. No matter what happened, Jesus relied on God to help him accomplish the mission set before him. Because of Jesus, we can trust God no matter what. We can bounce back from whatever knocks us down and complete the mission God has set for us.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Joel. And I thought it was especially cool that Joel shared that. He chose that topic to share with you. Because just to show that Joel started his year with a very scary accident while home in Nepal, or visiting Nepal, where he almost drowned and ended up in ICU. And a miraculous recovery through the prayers of his parents and those of us praying back here. And not just that, Joel's been back in the water. He's been back in his lessons. He's been back going for it. And he really is a miracle. So, yeah. We are very proud of you, Joel. So the last topic that we did, two more things. Right, so I've also asked, so Serge has been doing a lot of these CROFICs. That's our preteen. You guys have been doing some of them. They've also had some of their own special programs. So they did one called Origins, which was put out by the 24/7 Prayer Movement, a fabulous course on prayer. And I've asked Talia just to come and share a few things about what that was about and how she found that course. Thanks, Talia.
Last time in Surge, we watched a series called Origins 24/7 Prayer. Each video focused on a different letter from the word prayer, starting with P, going all the way to R. Pause, rejoice and reflect, ask, yes, endure and repeat. P, pause, was all about pausing and being still, like Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. It talks about how we're not just pausing to calm our bodies, we're doing it to replenish our souls and recenter our scattered senses, not into thin air, but into the presence of God. Rejoice and reflect was all about rejoicing in God and reflecting on his word through prayer. How in Psalms 23 is a wonderful psalms for rejoicing and reflecting, and that in just 6 verses there are at least 11 promises that God brings when we focus on him, and that rejoicing in God's gift, good gift, doesn't ignore the pain and suffering we also experience in life. It confronts it head on and says in the midst of the pain, God is with us and knows how to turn the mess of life into a message of hope. Ask was all about how it's more than okay to ask for things in prayer. In fact, Jesus teaches us to. And he says to cover everything in the areas of our life and between God, and God likes to hear from us and what we need because it builds a stronger relationship between him and you. Yes was all about how a lot of times our desires don't line up with God's will and purposes. E, endure, was all about not giving up and praying and up and praying, and not being doubtful, and how God never forgets our prayers. Even if we do, he remembers. And how God cares for us and listens to our prayers. R, repeat, was all about the persistence of praying. And that many people that God used in the Bible were completely ordinary, who were consistently available by consistently praying and talking to him, and that he looks in for pursuit and not for perfection. This series helped me a lot. It gave me a deeper understanding of what prayer can be, and it taught me how to pray more slowly with more meaning. It has strengthened my relationship with God and Jesus by showing me how important it is to pause and leave space for him to talk back to me.
So good. As we teach these things, I think if you ask most of my team and myself, we get a lot out of it as we teach it. It's one of my favourite things of kids ministry is that I'm just learning all the time, which is great. And I've asked Simone just to come and share as one of our leaders who's been with us for a few years now, 3 years, just to share how she finds serving in children's ministry.
Well, I'm actually going to share how I got into kids ministry. Which is, well, 3 years ago, before I just started, I was going to become too old for kids' church. I was a bit sad about that. but the thing is, I actually kind of felt in my heart that I actually really wanted to become a leader there. And I didn't know if it was just my head or if it was my heart as well telling me that, but I decided that, you know what, after thinking about it for a while, I'll just ask Jackie, you know? She'll answer. And so next Sunday I went and saw Jackie. Well, actually, I did see Jackie and she was with Kira and they were packing something down. And I was like, Okay, this is the time I need to ask if I can become a kids' church leader. But as I was walking up to her slowly, I freaked out. In my head, I was thinking, what if she says no? What if she says, we don't want any more leaders? What if she says, I'm too young? That's the one that was biggest in my head. What if I'm too young? Because I was only 13, turning 14 soon. But I ended up freaking out. I walked past her and went, hi. and it was really scary. But then I heard a voice, Mrs. Jackie, and she said, Simone, come over here. I have a question for you. And I was like, oh, no, come on, God. I'll ask when she's finished this question. And she asked me, Simone, would you like to be a kids' church leader? And I said yes. I was so thrilled, and I'm so glad that I got to become a kids' church leader, because these guys are so cool, and it's really helped boost my leadership skills and my teaching in the Bible as well. And as Jackie was saying, I've been learning, we've all been learning as we're teaching, and that's probably one of my favourite parts, is that we're all learning together, actually, which makes it easier to teach it when you're learning it at the same time. I just love kids' church.
Thank you, Simone. Thank you, babe. That's awesome. Yeah, little did I know that I was asking the questions she was dreading to ask. But no, it really is an honour in watching these guys grow. I've pushed some of them out of their comfort zone this year to do a bit of teaching and lead some things, and they are all growing heaps, which is really, really cool. Our last topic of the year was, or has been, the big give, all right? Celebrating Jesus, God's greatest gift. And actually, Craig, could you help me by grabbing me my box over there? That would be awesome. Thank you, sweet. And as I was reflecting on the last theme as we were teaching it, talking about Jesus as the greatest gift, I remembered that Paul wrote in Corinthians, he was referring to Jesus, and he said, he actually described him as God's indescribable gift. One of the translations says indescribable, just without words. And it got me thinking about gifts and presents, and obviously that's what we focus on at Christmas, and we say we give gifts because it's reflecting that Jesus was the greatest gift. And I thought of James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift is from above, and that God gives good gifts. And this was just going through my mind, and I found myself thinking about, well, you know, when we think about God's gifts, kids, we sometimes, God can give us material gifts sometimes when he gives us, you know, financial blessings and things that we need. But often the gifts that God gives are relational gifts or emotional gifts or spiritual gifts. They're things that are sort of deeper within us, are the things that we think about when God gives us gifts. And I found myself asking the question, what gifts has God given me through the year? You know, it's the end of the year, we like to reflect. What gifts has he given me this year? And if I'm really honest, my first thought was actually not much of this year has felt like a gift. And I was a bit surprised by that, but I thought, oh. You see, I instinctively went looking, it was my overview for the year, for the really pretty, nicely wrapped, and instantly delightful things that I would recognise as a gift. Because that's the imagery, right? Presents. They're beautiful. They're wrapped, they're lovely, they're always positive, they're going to be good. I mean, you don't see any beat up, torn boxes covered in mud under Christmas trees in any of our malls, do you? I certainly haven't had one of those under my tree. I've never seen one looking like this. Right? That's not what makes me think of a gift. So do one of you want to come? Quinlan, do you want to come up and hold this for me? That'd be awesome. You just hold that one. Nolan, do you want to hold the other one for me? That'd be amazing. Just stand there, boys, and just hold it for a bit up so everyone can see. No, gifts are supposed to be good and good looking, all right? Wrapped pretty, look good, feel good. And so when I was looking back over my year, and there were a number of things this year, through the year, there were some good things, lots of good things, but I was kind of generally going, actually, it felt like the year's been really challenging. And there's been some loss, and there's been some real heaviness, and there's been some heartache. And some of you might reflect some of those feelings too about your year. And I didn't really see gifts, because I didn't think that, you know, challenges and loss and pain is this kind of gift, right? It's not a gift. So I'm looking at my year thinking, I'm not sure. And some of those other things felt a bit more not so pretty looking. Then I was thinking again on Jesus. He's got a great way of just making his way into our thoughts, doesn't he? God's greatest gift. So God's good. He's a gift giver. He gives good gifts, and Jesus is his greatest gift ever. Yet I was reflecting that I suspect an unplanned pregnancy surrounded by gossip probably didn't feel like a good gift to Mary. Probably the stable that was on offer didn't feel like a good gift. That might have felt a little bit more like that looking, or the feeding trough that she had to lay Jesus in. And we know that the weekend of the crucifixion and the cross did not feel like a gift to the disciples. Yet this was God's indescribable, exceedingly good gift to them and to us. So I found myself wondering, what gifts have I missed this year because they weren't wrapped up all pretty? Because, see, I do not believe, and please hear this, that God is the source of our hard times, stress, sickness, loss, etc. I think sin in the world and the enemy has that well and truly in hand. He is not the source. He is not the one who makes life look like that sometimes. But the gifts that he gives, they are the things that God can sneak into the ordinary or even ugly package that is served up by life to give it immense value and make sure that nothing difficult we go through is wasted. And I think that's the revelation that Romans 8:28 was written from. You boys are doing great. You just want to put it on the step behind you now and you can sit down. Thank you for holding them up. I think that's the revelation that Romans 8:28 was written from when it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, there's that goodness, the good gift that is found in the middle, the midst of, or on the other side of the messy things. When you start looking for God's gifts and the things that aren't wrapped up all pretty, you find things like new levels of trust. You find new testimonies of grace and healing. You find that you're stronger than you were before, or that you even have a new kind of faith. You might find you just have a new love for the cross because you realize all the messy was actually taken on the cross for you. Or you might find new fervor in prayer because you realize you needed to spend more time on your knees. And the list would go on, and I'm sure if you were to reflect through the hard and the messy parts of your year, if you stop and look, you'll find that God is giving you gifts. And if you can't find them yet, they will be coming. So we're going to go and take communion this morning together. Because what more of a beautiful way to stop and remember Christ, but to actually go looking for the gifts that God has given you this year. Remember that the things that we've gone through and the things that have been messy this year, just to repeat, they're the things that God gets to sneak into the ordinary and even ugly to give it value and to make sure that nothing's wasted. That verse means so much to me. It has for a long time. It is an anchor. It is such an anchor in my life, and I pray it's an anchor in yours, and I know for so many in the room it is, that God uses everything. He wastes nothing. We have a phrase that we like to use, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, and there's a great, you know, there's a bit of truth to that from a mental kind of health perspective, be positive. But only God can actually take what is completely broken or what completely seems like a mess and make it beautiful. That is the gift we have in Christ. And Jesus himself is an example of that. He didn't come wrapped pretty. We say this, he didn't come to kings, he didn't come to a palace. He came in a way that no one expected. And so I want us just to sit, as we take communion this morning, I want us to go on a treasure hunt of your year and ask the Lord to reveal to you where are the gifts that he's hidden, that he's waiting for you to discover. And may these just pictures, this imagery here remind you that not everything will look like this, but not to miss what he's doing when it looks a bit like this over here. For communion, what I'd like to do, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. My youth are going to hand out communion in a minute. But parents, I was wondering, I think it might be easier, could you come forward to be with your children up the front? There's a little bit more room. And we're going to hand communion around up here and through the rows. And I just want to lead you in the opportunity to to stop and consider what gifts the Lord wants to give you this year. And you might already go, you know what, actually there's been so much goodness. And that's so good. So you're going to use this moment just to be full of gratitude for the things that came your way that you just knew were good, God's goodness. And if you're a bit more like me in that moment, going, actually it's been hard, it's been a tiring year, I'm not sure, then you're going to use that moment just to bring that before him and say, Lord, I know I can trust that you'll show me where your gift is to me in the midst of it. Does that sound good? We're really open for that. That would be amazing. Could I have a little bit of worship team background music, Paulette? That'd be amazing. Could I have my kids' church leaders stand on up and head on over to the communion table? Parents, we'll get everyone to stand for this, I think. And parents, would you be happy to come forward and be with your children up the front or leaders with kids? That would be amazing, because it's really powerful when we do communion together in our friends group and our wider family, parents with their children. Thank you. I'll see, will that balance? I think it will. Come on up the front. That's awesome. So good. Yeah, come and stand with your parents and just be up here. All right. Thank you, team. So just as you're waiting to be served, just start reflecting. Just start thanking him that he's a good gift giver. Does anyone still need to be served? Give us a wee wave if you're still waiting. Got a few? Cool. All right, we've got a few down the back, guys, team. Can you see? Yep, thank you. Awesome. You know, of course, parents, the Bible refers to children being a great gift. The original word for that is actually means to do with heritage. But we often translate it as gift, because the idea of heritage is something that actually it's freely given and it belonged to someone else first. And our children come from the Lord because they're his, and then they're gifted to us. And again, they come in all sorts of different personality packages and all sorts of different things, but they are a gift. And I think not just for parents, but for a church, for the house of the Lord, just remember that so much of God's heart is wrapped up in how we love and honour and host our children. And I think we do that really well as a house, but just collectively, all of us, how we honour them, how we consider their presence when they're with us, they are a gift. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of that. There's so many references to gifts in the Bible, and of course, like typical English language, there's about 5 or 6 Hebrew and Greek words for every time we translate the word gift, with different meanings and different layers. But I love also just the simplicity of thinking about that which is wrapped and given. All right, so let's just reflect for a minute. Holy Spirit, Jesus, we just want to honor you today for the gift that you are to us. Gift that was given as a baby, hope that was given through you as a baby, and that was completely fulfilled on the cross. God, I thank you that we would not forget again this Christmas that you are the greatest gift, the most precious gift. And God, that you like to do things different from what we expect, and you like to bring precious things out of wrapping that doesn't look great. And Lord, so as we hold the cup and we hold the bread before you, remember the price that you paid upon the cross. In remembrance of the gift that you are, and an acknowledgement that you continue to give us amazing gifts tucked into all the spaces of our lives, the pretty and the ugly, the amazing and the difficult. And because of the cross, we can say, yes, amen, it's completed, it's true, and you're coming again. Lord, help us to go on a treasure hunt this morning and open our eyes to see where you are at work in all the places in our lives that we would not miss. We wouldn't miss who you are and what you're doing. Like so many of the people did when Jesus came, they missed it, because it didn't look like what they wanted. Don't let us be ones who miss what you're doing. We just pour out our gratitude this morning that you're always at work. In Jesus' name, let's drink and eat together. Now just turn to either your family around you or your friends, the people beside you. And I want you just to lay hands on one another. And I want you just to thank the Lord, all right, for the gift that they are and for the treasure that's inside them. All right, just take a moment, just 2 minutes, just to bless each other. That's awesome. Oh, thank you, church. In true kids' church style, we've kept it short and sweet. We're going to wrap up now and just allow for some good fellowship, some good time together. I hope you felt like you were able just to gain something out of that and be blessed by what our kids have brought to you this morning. We're going to wrap on up. Tea and coffee will be available. There's going to be a rehearsal in this room at about 11:30 today, so we just ask that everyone does most of their catching up out in the other two spaces. Would be awesome. But it is only 11 o'clock. So be blessed for a treat and some time together. Would be awesome.